NPR.
Hey, it's Stacey and Cardiff, and today on The Indicator from Planet Money, we've got something a little different for you. The NPR Science Desk has been hard at work these last few months working on a new daily podcast. What else?
Yeah, that's right. It's called Shortwave, and it's terrific. It's all about science, of course, but that also means that sometimes it'll be about economics, because here at The Indicator, everything feels like it's about economics.
It's right. True. You can't escape it.
But as Stacey said, Shortwave is daily, just like us, and it's about 10 minutes long, also just like us.
In short, they've made a lot of really good decisions. And we thought you might appreciate a taste, so without further ado, here is Shortwave from NPR.
I'm your host, Maddie Sofia, here with Rebecca Hersher, who covers climate for NPR. And Becky, you told me this mind-blowing fact earlier. If all the ships on Earth were a single country, that country would be the sixth largest polluter in the world.
Yeah, right after the nation of Japan. Because here's the thing, there are thousands of huge ships, and they carry like 90% of what you buy here in the U.S.
Wow.
And they burn this extremely dirty fuel. It's called heavy fuel oil. Sometimes it's called bunker fuel.
That doesn't sound great.
And listen, I cover a lot of like big pollution-heavy industries as a climate reporter. And shipping has something going for it that's kind of cool, which is that they have publicly acknowledged that they have a problem. They're dirty.
That's the first step. Hi, yeah. I'm shipping. I have a problem.
And I have a problem, and it is greenhouse gases. Second, they're actually trying to change it, which is good. So international regulators are already cracking down. And this is kind of wild. Maersk, the largest shipping company in the world, has already promised to go zero carbon by 2050.
Zero.
Zero. No emissions from any of their ships.
Today on the show, can the shipping industry really clean up its act and go zero carbon? The key might be in some super old technology.
Support for this episode of The Indicator and the following message come from Capital One. Ken Dodolin and his team built Eno, the intelligent assistant, who proactively alerts customers to fraud and other account activity.
We know people are just trying to live their lives, and we try to empower Eno to only interrupt them from their life when absolutely necessary, just like you would want a human assistant to do.
Stay tuned after the episode to learn how Ken and his team at Capital One programmed Eno to proactively help customers manage their finances.
Okay, Rebecca, it might surprise you that I have not been on a giant shipping vessel before. What are they like?
Yeah, I don't boat either, Maddie, or ship, usually.
Journalist, right?
Yep. Yeah. So I went with a couple colleagues to visit a regular, normal ship in Baltimore. Let me tell you.
Oh, dang, that's steep.
Extremely large. It's like a cliff rising above you as you drive up to it.
Hi, Rebecca. Nice to meet you.
They were very welcoming. The ship's chief engineer, Alexei Buzlov, gave us a tour of the ship's engine room.
So let's go down.
I'm picturing like old-timey men shoveling coal into a fire. It's very Titanic-y.
Well, there were old-timey men. But other than that, it's completely different. So it has like a huge engine the size of multiple city buses.
Okay.
But what I most noticed was the smell.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that smells like gasoline. Yeah.
This gas oil, more evaporated, more, you know?
Yeah, so what Alexei is correctly pointing out is that it smells even worse in there than if they were burning gasoline, because they're burning this heavy fuel oil. And there are like rows and rows and rows of tanks of it. And fuel oil is really thick and dark. It's like the stuff you put in your car, but like on steroids.
Gross.
And it covers everything it touches, like all the parts of the engine, in this thick gunk.
Ugh.
And there's so much of it that Alexei, he spends a lot of his day like cleaning components.
Uh-huh.
And he collects all that gunk in 55-gallon drums.
So why are we using this stuff?
It's dirty, but it's really efficient. So every drop of that fuel has tons of power in it. It packs a lot of energy into a relatively small space.
Is there a cleaner fuel that could provide the same kind of energy?
Yeah, there is. Hydrogen.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, you can use it to make electricity without generating any greenhouse gas emissions at all. No soot, no sulfur, no CO2. And the technology to do that has been around for decades, called the hydrogen fuel cell. What's new and still unproven is this idea of putting fuel cells onto ships. And to work out the specifics of how to do that, there's actually a group that's building a ship.
We're going to another ship, huh?
Yeah, we are. We're leaving Baltimore. We're going across the country. We're going to Oakland. I visited this shipyard where there's a ferry under construction. It's actually going to be the first Coast Guard certified hydrogen-powered vessel ever in the U.S., which is pretty cool.
So what does this hydrogen-powered boat look like?
Right now, it looks like an aluminum frame.
Okay.
Because it's not really done. But it will look like a ship. And in the meantime, I got the founder of the company, Joe Pratt, to show me around and sort of point out where everything's going to be.
This is the floor. This is kind of where everybody sits. And then it's everything down from that.
So up on the deck, when it's done, that's where the hydrogen and the fuel cells are going to go.
Okay, so let's walk through the science of how a hydrogen fuel cell actually works.
Okay, so it's nothing like the combustion engine that you're used to in, like, your car. In those, you burn fuel, you combust it to create energy.
Boom.
And so what comes out is gross. It's pollution. It has, like, soot and all sorts of stuff that is not very nice in it.
Right, and a fuel cell just converts hydrogen or another fuel directly into electricity through a different reaction. So no combustion, no burning, no boom.
Exactly. You're just combining oxygen with hydrogen and creating electricity. You can use that electricity to turn a propeller in this case, and you don't get all that nasty stuff. So instead of carbon and gross exhaust coming out of your tailpipe, you just have clean, moist air.
And we can condense the water that the fuel cells produce, and we collect that water and we'll use it for onboard drinking water.
Mm, give me that sweet, sweet exhaust water.
Yeah, sounds delicious, right?
Okay, so this is my question. If hydrogen is so easy, like why haven't we been doing this already?
So remember how I said that heavy fuel oil, like what they're burning right now that's so dirty, has this one upside, which is that it has tons of energy for every drop.
It's efficient.
But hydrogen is less efficient. So for a really long time, engineers just assumed you'd need so much hydrogen to power a ship that it wouldn't work. But then Joe Pratt and his team, what they did is they did an analysis and they found that actually it probably is possible. So that's what they're testing here. They have this design. They're going to build a ferry and see if they can prove that it works.
Okay, but like, are we really going to be able to scale this up to a point where it would make a big difference?
I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and guarantee the entire global shipping industry is going to like change over to a new fuel
That's
tomorrow.
What I thought we were doing here.
Oh, wait, sorry. I am going to guarantee that. No, I mean, here's the thing. Imagine you run a global shipping company. Hurricanes are getting more severe, just to choose one effect of global warming.
Right, not great for ships.
Bad for business. So there's already a financial incentive to switch over to something, and hydrogen really is the best bet.
But will one company really make that big of a difference?
Yeah, I think it will. And the analysts I talked to think it will too, because there just aren't that many big shipping companies in the world. So when one really big company like Maersk makes this kind of promise, if they follow through, it could make a really big dent. And it seems possible that if this new ferry and other prototypes can prove that this is possible, the way they'll do it is using hydrogen.
Thanks to The Indicator from Planet Money for hosting this episode of Shortwave. If you like what you just heard, please subscribe and check your feed for new episodes every weekday.
The following message comes from our sponsor, Capital One.
I'm Ken Dodelin. I'm VP of Conversational AI Products at Capital One, and I lead the team building Eno. Eno is an AI that is focused on financial matters. We've taught Eno to do lots of things on behalf of customers, and then Eno brings the important things to you. Eno shows up in push notifications, text messages, emails, on our website, in our mobile app. Eno is wherever our customers want to interact and get help with their money. So the way we train Eno to understand what customers are saying involves humans. We wanted to make sure that we didn't train Eno to understand the world as one person would through only their background and experiences. We've brought in lots of folks with many diverse backgrounds to broaden Eno's understanding of the different ways that people will ask questions and communicate with Eno. We also realized that we need to create a little bit of a personality when we were thinking about developing the character and the name and other personal characteristics we might provide. We thought about all the unconscious biases that those things might evoke. And so at Capital One, we have a very diverse and inclusive culture, and we thought a gender-neutral name was a nice outward expression of that in a product.
To meet Eno, the Capital One assistant, go to CapitalOne.com/Eno.